Hello, readers. My name is Jason Jeffries, and I am your host for Bookin', presented by Quail Ridge Books, Raleigh, North Carolina's trusted community bookstore. My guest today is Robert W. Turner II, author of Not For Long, The Life and Career of the NFL Athlete, published by Oxford University Press. Robert is joined by former NFL athlete Ron Rice, the chairman of the board of the National Football League Alumni Association. Robert, Ron, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me and both of us, Mr. Jeffries. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you indeed.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And Robert, your book, Not For Long, The Life and Career of the NFL Athlete, has a central idea that there are three occurrences that are largely responsible for ending the career of athletes who have aspirations of a long and profitable career in the National Football League. These three things are injury, indiscretion, and illness. And I want to take these things one by one. The National Football League somewhat infamously structures their contracts so that only a portion of the money that a player signs for is guaranteed. An injury can not only derail an athlete's season, but their entire livelihood and their ability to provide for themselves and their families. Tell us about how you deal with injury in your book, Not For Long, and provide us with some examples. And Ron, please jump in whenever you feel it is appropriate.
Well, Ron and I were actually on the radio this morning, and he reminds me, this is why I really love working with the athletes all together, Ron and other athletes. But, you know, the NFL, one of the things that is very important to recognize based on some of the factors that you already mentioned, but the NFL and football altogether, they're always constantly looking to replace you. It's kind of like design obsolescence. The moment that they sign you, they're out there looking for they're looking for your replacement. And remember, when they signed you, they're looking for you to replace somebody else, right? So you can't afford in many instances to get injured. It depends, right? Now, if you are a first round draft choice and they've invested a lot of money into you, like a J.J. Watts was when he hurt his shoulder, then they're going to give you a little bit more time. But if you are in the book, I talk about journeymen and stars. If you're a journeyman, free agent contract, first starting out, and you know, you could easily get injured. You can't afford, you know, to be injured a half a season and you're out, because they're going to find a way to replace you. So what we say in the NFL, which is really, really true, is that, you know, it's easier to make an NFL team than it is to stay on an NFL team. And the other thing that they do say, and Ron probably knows about this, is what we would say, that you can't make the club when you're in the tub, right? So if you're always in the whirlpool nursing an injury, you're not going to be on that team. So I have seen this with guys, you know, some of the guys that I have spoken with, and myself, you know, the average career is 3.3 seasons, but somebody tweaks a knee, somebody, you know, blows out a shoulder, and you need a year of rehab. They don't have that time. That they're going to keep the train moving, and I've covered a lot of guys in the book that have talked about how injuries have jeopardized their careers.
Right, and in respect to guaranteed contracts, I think it's sort of shifted over time. I played back in the 90s up to the early 2000s, and most of those contracts then were sort of backloaded. And now guys are getting more guaranteed money up front. The contracts are not backloaded like they once were. They also have more incentives in the contract. But you know, back in the early days, or back when I played, those were protections that the teams had, or the owners had in the contracts, in terms of, you know, if you backload a contract, you know, we're going to try to kind of play the odds here and say that he's not going to make it through his 5 or 6 year deal, just based upon the likelihood of a player being injured. Because in the NFL, as they all say, the injury rate is 100%. And it's not about if you'll be injured, it's all about when you'll be injured.
Right, and you can't hit those performance incentives if you're hurt. Let's talk about indiscretion now. If not only an NFL athlete, but a professional athlete in any sport is fortunate enough to not be injured and to have a relatively long and somewhat productive career, and again, I'm using the word long relatively, odds are that said athlete will be bankrupt within a short amount of years after retirement. And we are talking about the loss in some cases of millions and millions of dollars. Why is this the case, and what can professional sports leagues and associations do to better educate athletes about fiscal responsibility?
Well, I mean, it's like anything else. One of the things we have to recognize with the NFL athlete, and I really try to cover this in the book, is that we're talking about very young people, right? You know, you find sign one of the guys that I cover in the book signed his first contract at 20 years old. But, you know, you're at 20 years old, 21, 22 years old, you're making as much money at that point in time in your career as some people at the height of their career. Maybe sometimes you're making more than that. So if you get a young man $1 million, let's say reasonably, $1 million, $1.5 million at that age, you know, he really needs the skills to be able to know how to handle that money. And you don't teach those skills when you're in the NFL. I think some of these universities and maybe even some of these high schools really need to be do a much better job teaching everybody how to manage money, but particularly those people who are driven towards pursuing a professional career.
Right. And the process of financial literacy has to start early. It has to start in the schools. It has to start at the dinner tables. But however, I'm going to question, you know, some of the data that's associated with players being bankrupt as well, because if you take it into consideration with the average career of 3.3 years, those aren't the guys that are having the opportunity to kind of strike it rich, so to speak, in the league. So it's easy to kind of mismanage or mishandle a couple $100,000. And so when we talk about bankruptcy, I think there's a distinct difference between, you know, losing $20 million as it is opposed to losing a couple $100,000. So, you know, the picture is still sort of ugly, however you want to paint it, if that's going to be someone's fate. But I don't know if that's necessarily true, because all of the guys aren't your $100 million contract guys like a Brett Favre.
And I'll just want to jump in real quickly with that as well. You know, the numbers are what the numbers are, but when we hear these sensational numbers in the news often, it's very easy to overlook that many of these guys do transition out of football and live wonderfully good family lives, you know, committed to their wives, their children, being very responsible. And often, here's the other thing that we have to understand. Many times, these young men, when they transition out of football, they're responsible to be the most well-educated person in their family and the financially responsible person that's taking care of their extended family as well.
Hey, thank you for that answer. Robert, in your book, the third issue that you mention is illness. Perhaps the highest profile athlete to retire due to illness in my lifetime has been Magic Johnson, who initially retired from the NBA due to an HIV-positive diagnosis. Not every athlete who succumbs to an illness has the support and financial leverage that Magic Johnson is and was fortunate to have. Can you tell us about issues dealing with illness and how that can derail an athlete's career and livelihood?
Well, sure. It goes back to what we were saying before. Listen, you have a short career. They're always looking for the next great person to replace you right up front. So one of the stories that I bring out in the book was by a gentleman named Jelani, who played for the Packers for a couple of years as a, you know, a journeyman free agent that walked on. And at the same exact time, he said one of the guys that he was real good friends with from college was trying out as a free agent at for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time. And during training camp, no one really knew who either one of these guys were, so they had to work twice as hard to get half the recognition. And then one morning, the guy on Jacksonville ate some bad eggs or something, suffered from food poisoning, was sick, missed a couple of practices, and boom, he was out the door. And my friend Jelani just kind of says it this way. He goes, maybe he shouldn't have eaten those eggs. Even though the team gave him the eggs, it, you know, they didn't really care. They was his next man up, and then you're out. So, you know, yes, if you are a star, and we'd say like if Brady gets ill for a little while at 2-3 games or a season even, he's going to be back. But the journeyman who, you know, really they don't have as much invested in, you know, sometimes luck is not on your side and you can easily be cycled out of the league.
Yeah, and you use Magic Johnson for an example. I mean, obviously Magic is a very unique case and you know, fortunately for him and us, he was around. But the game is all about instant gratification. And if you're not performing at peak and optimum shape and performance at all times, then you're really dispendable. So the example that Dr. Turner just used of the guy going into training camp and he gets ill in training, you can't afford to take not one play off if you're not that established player. And just like that, you know, you're gone at the blink of an eye if you miss a rep relative to foodborne illness or something that's genetic. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. And, you know, it's just really delicate.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and then I will be back with Robert Turner and Ron Rice. The Bookin' Podcast is sponsored by Libro FM Audiobooks. Libro FM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore, Quail Ridge Books. You can pick from more than 100,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With Libro.fm, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know the name. But you'll be part of a much different story, one that supports community. Listeners of Bookin' can get a 3-month audiobook membership for the price of one. Go to Libro.fm, that's Libro.fm, and enter Bookin', Bookin, in the promo code space. With each listen, take pride in knowing that you're supporting local bookstores. I am back with Robert Turner II and Ron Rice, and we are discussing Robert's new book, Not For Long, The Life and Career of the NFL Athlete, published by Oxford University Press. Robert, in this book you often refer to the tournament. The tournament is the progression and sometimes elimination of athletes as they attempt to move on from Pop Warner football to middle school and high school football, and then into college football, and eventually, in some cases, into professional football. Can you talk about how this progression, this tournament, as you call it, worked when you were rising through the ranks and how it has changed for the children of today?
Well, sure. I think there's two things that I really cover in the book. We talk about the sports industrial complex. You know, it's really kind of a building off of the term that was coined by C. Wright Mills with the military industrial complex. And in that instance, what we're really talking about is two things. One, sports is so culturally embedded and so important in our society that there's this whole complex built around it. But then also, today's much more than it has ever been before. There's been reports that youth sports, so to speak, is like a $15 billion industry, a little bit larger or more larger than the NFL itself. And then the other thing I talk is about the professionalization of youth sports. And so how things have really changed from my perspective of when I experienced it, you know, you didn't really get recruited out of high school when I was playing until they start really looking at you in your junior year, but you didn't really get those offers and start coming in. We weren't even really required to go to camps, summer camps at colleges back in the day. You'd field your scholarship after your senior year in football. Nowadays, we're seeing kids as young as, and I was reminded by Ron yesterday or this morning, that Jim Harbaugh offered a seventh grader a scholarship to be a quarterback at the University of Michigan. Everything is at warp speed, it's steroids, and there's a lot more pressure on the young athlete themselves and on their families, all scrambling for. And remember, when I played football at James Madison University, the full cost of tuition annually was like $4,000. Now, I ain't that old, but but today, you know, you go to altogether University of North Carolina in state, it's $100,000 to go there. So people are using sports to as a lottery ticket to hit the jackpot just to get an affordable education today.
All right, thanks. And finally, gentlemen, I would like to ask about NCAA football specifically. The NCAA and its affiliated universities make millions and millions of dollars every year off of students who are often given workloads that don't allow them to both succeed in a way that can realistically encourage both academic success and success on the football field. The students, of course, are not paid to play football for the universities, but are expected to work hard on multiple fronts so that the universities and colleges can profit from them. Does this model work? I mean, I know it works for the universities, but is it working for the young athletes?
Well, if you're from a family that doesn't need the money, then yeah, it's working. If you are in a situation where in the, you know, you may know that I was in the movie, an HBO documentary movie called Student Athlete. There was LeBron James is the executive producer, and there's a young man in there named Shamar Graves who played tight end at Rutgers, and he talks about, and he, you know, he grew up homeless, and he grew up in a household when they did live in a home during the time he was playing at Rutgers. There was very little money in the home. And he was taking food from the training tables, putting it in styrofoam packages, and taking it back home so his brothers and sisters could eat. And then when the Rutgers found out about it, it was a minor violation. They made him stop, right? And so he cries and says, hey, here I am. I'm seeing my name, my likeness in a video game, and my family can't even eat, and I'm playing sports so that way I can try to make it to the NFL and make a life better for them. You know, so when we say, does the model work? It only works if you even actually get a valued education, not a degree, but a valued education that you can transfer that into a job at some point in life. And I think that's where we need to really see reform and stop exploiting athletes on that level.
Yeah, I think we need to, you know, I think what you deem as valuable from your experience and your education is really something that's individualized. And the system needs to be, in my opinion, of course, completely overhauled. If you have players at the University of Duke, a Zion Williams who signs an autographed basketball and then he finds his autographed basketball on eBay, and whoever's put it up on eBay is going to be rewarded that $500, that $600, or whatever it yields. But Zion Williams is not entitled to any of that money. I think we have a major problem here, particularly when we talk about Power Five schools, schools that you can regularly see on ESPN or ABC on a Saturday afternoon. And when we talk about timetables in terms of when a kid starts and when a kid finishes, how much time he has put into actually playing football, basketball, baseball, and versus the time that he's actually gone to class and spent time studying, you could probably see that Libra scale really shift to the favor of the athletes, athletic performance and time spent on the field. So I think there needs to be a major overhaul. I know a lot of people out here that think that they have the answers, and I think it's really complicated, and I can't figure it out just yet. But I think we are definitely doing the kids a disservice when knowing that the coach profits, the school profits, everyone profits, but the student athlete.
And I'm going to jump in real quick. One of the things that I really believe, and Ron, I think, agrees with me, you don't solve this kind of problem by just throwing money at it and saying, well, now we pay the athletes, and so it's all done, kind of like in our great, you know, commercial enterprise. No, we need to recognize that money doesn't solve certain inequities that are built into a system, particularly when a system says they're going to reward you by an education that in some instances doesn't really amount to what they say it does. But yet on the other side, you know, coaches can leave their teams, they can make $7 million, and they can leave families scrambling around with broken promises, trying to figure out what's in the best interest of their child now that the whole system has, you know, turned on them.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's definitely a topic I've thought a lot about, and I know you have too. I've been speaking with Robert Turner II and Ron Rice about Robert's new book, Not For Long, The Life and Career of the NFL Athlete, published by Oxford University Press. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. Look forward to seeing you over at the bookstore.
All right. Once again, I'd like to thank Robert W. Turner II and Ron Rice for joining me. Robert's book, Not For Long, The Life and Career of the NFL Athlete, can be purchased in-store and online at www.quailridgebooks.com. Our sponsor is Libro.fm Audiobooks. Head on over to Libro.fm and input the promo code BOOKIN, that's B-O-O-K-I-N, to get 3 months for the price of one and support our podcast in the process. My name is Jason Jefferies, and this has been BOOKIN.